Today marks an important milestone for the University of West Florida and Argonaut Athletics. Earlier today, our Board of Trustees voted unanimously to approve the University of West Florida Athletics joining the Atlantic Sun Conference and the United Athletic Conference, transitioning the University of West Florida to NCAA Division I for the fall of 2026.
It's still kind of like, what? So soon? I know this is something that UWF folks and advocates have been asking for a long time, and it's always been the question. I actually thought it was kind of funny yesterday during the announcement in the press conference. Dave Scott, the athletic director, he said, I've been here for all of these like campus tours, and every time people come into my office and they just say this is happening, he's like, no, it's not. Not yet.
You know, for years I've sat in my office and listened to campus tours where the students would say, and we're moving Division I. And I'd sort of sit there and chuckle because, you know, I'm inside saying, well, we're not really looking at that right now. It's always been on the radar. I think eventually we always knew we would land in this space, right? And it really makes sense at this time to be in this space. And we're really looking forward to the future of competing with institutions that look like us.
Yeah, and that's kind of the idea, is finding the right fit. And it is kind of funny that people would actually say, no, it's happening when, yeah, well, I mean, it's not happening yet, but it finally is happening. And, I mean, if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago if, UWF is going to go to Division I, I'd have been like, well, I mean, you know, maybe, eventually. It's a big shift. There's a lot of money involved. There's a lot of logistics involved. What would it mean for all of the other sports is one of the big questions, obviously. That's one of the things that we're, you know, looking at. And joining us now, we have Dr. Judy Bentz. She is, of course, the former, I think she's officially emeritus, but, you know, former president at UWF. And she joins us now, also with a book out. We might get a chance to talk about that. Hey, Dr. Bentz, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Great to hear your voice and your chuckle.
Well, hi, Andrew. It's good to talk to you, too. It's been a little while.
It has been. When you made the announcement more than a decade ago and you held up that football helmet mm-hmm. and you said, we're bringing football to Pensacola, I know there was a part of you that maybe dared to dream this day would finally come to pass. But be for real, what was it like yesterday and thinking about that difference?
It was a big step. And, you know, I did go back to that 2012 when I raised the football helmet. And it kind of seemed surreal yesterday. On the other hand, it seemed like it's about time because we're ready.
No kidding. I
was excited. Yeah.
No, it's fantastic news. Now, you are obviously not the president anymore, but you are involved in a lot of things. You're still teaching, right, at UWF in archaeology?
No, I'm not teaching anymore.
Oh, okay.
I've hung up the chalk, and what I'm doing is a lot of archaeological things.
Okay.
I've been researching and publishing, and this new book just came out.
Right, which I want to make sure we don't pass by without talking about that. So let's just do like, you know, a moment about the book, because this is not the reason we had you on, but I saw the news came out, you know, in the last couple of days. You've got a new book on it for the 250th anniversary, 250 years of Florida as a Spanish colony. What is the book? What should we look for in it?
The book is called Early Spanish Florida. It's written for the general public. It's got lots of pictures, kind of like a National Geographic article.
Okay.
And it goes from 1513 to 1763, the first 250 years of Florida's experience as a Spanish colony.
Love it. I love it. And, I mean, you're always so good at communicating and explaining things. I can't wait to see it. That'd be fantastic. Back to football because this – yeah, and you know what? Honestly, I was super excited to hear yesterday when President Diaz mentioned that you were involved now on the fundraising side in getting us really across the finish line and continuing to generate fundraising for the football program and for athletics in general. What is your role going to be here?
Well, Gordon Sprague and I are heading up the fundraising for Division I, and we're co-chair of the fundraising committee.
So we got a $2 million price tag up front. I know Manny Diaz, he didn't give a number yet. He said, we're working on it. We're pretty close. That's due by what, June 1st? Is that right?
Right, June 1st. Mm-hmm.
So
it's a quick deadline.
Yeah, no, that's fast. So do you know how close we are to having that money in hand?
I think we've got about 750,000 to 800,000. We're almost halfway there.
Okay. And we've got, you know, a couple of months still, so I know you're an optimist. You wouldn't have announced it if you didn't think you could get there, right?
That's a fact. I think we can do it. And, you know, we have backup plans, but, yes, we need to raise it. But the most exciting thing about all this is we're going to play Division One this fall. This fall.
That's
amazing.
We're
playing Division One. That's amazing. You usually have to wait a year. But where everybody changed their schedules, the Atlantic Sun and the United Athletic League are just, they really want us bad in their league, and they are giving us the chance to play Division One in August of this year.
I still honestly can't believe it. It changed, everything changed so quickly. We're talking to Judy Benz, former president of UWF. Hang on for just a second, Dr. Benz. Okay. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
No problems or delays to report. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Dr. Judy Benz, of course, one of the key architects for the football program at UWF, former president of UWF, writer, archaeologist, and all the things, and now one of the co-chairs for the fundraising campaign on this move to D1. Mm-hmm. I have questions that were not exactly answered yesterday, but I think, like, if you had asked me a month ago if I understood the difference between Division II and Division I, I would have said, oh, sure, yeah, obviously. And then the more I started thinking about it, I realized I'm not really sure I understand the difference exactly. So what does this really mean, both for football and for the other sports, in terms of money, TV, scholarships, game competition? Like, what is the real difference between D1 and D2?
Everything you mentioned is different. The number of scholarships is different. It's more. The level of competition is different. It's higher. The cost of doing sports, adding the coaches that you have to, is more. The facilities, our facilities are good. The stadium is a huge plus. We've got to upgrade other facilities like baseball, softball, dugouts, and the complex over there. But basically, Andrew, it's more. It's not tremendously more because we're going in at the lower level of Division One, where we should be. And we have 3 years to get all of these things done before we're into Division One play, where we are eligible for championships. They give you some time to get ready, but they see where we are now, and they think we're good enough. All of this is good enough to play D1 now and take the next 3 years to really dot the I's, cross the T's, and get everything in order.
How do you think, because I know you've thought about this question, I mean yourself, I'm sure, for years and years and years and years and years, and I've been asked this question 1,000 times. How will this affect student life outside of athletics?
Well, I think it's going to improve student life outside of athletics. First of all, we're going to be playing schools that everybody knows. A lot of our students coming out of high school, they look at a university and they see what level of sports they're playing. They know what Division One. I swear, everybody in the country knows what Division One is. It's good, it's fun, it's big, it's pageantry. And if you don't have, if you only have Division Two, they go, oh, I don't want Division Two. I want to go where they play Division One. It makes a difference, and it adds to. It's really what you need to get to the next level of university's growth and development. And we're no longer knocking on the door, we're in the door.
You know, one of the things Manny Diaz has expressed very clearly is he wants to grow the prestige, the power, the, you know, desirability, mm-hmm. the attractiveness, mm-hmm. Grants, he wants to grow the university. And he's kind of said he doesn't really want to grow the size of the university so much because he recognizes that university's small size, its high acceptance rate, its place in the community are kind of unique. In my mind, I kind of feel like you can't have both. If we're going to start to be like an FSU or like a, you know, even a UCF, or if we're going to be like a, you know, a Florida, we're not going to stay at 16,000 people. It's going to be 25, 30, 35,000 people. That seems inevitable to me, but that means a very different reality, right?
Well, I agree. It is different, but I think the key to making all that work is slow growth. For the last 10 years, we've grown by 3-4% every year. President Saunders continued that growth in the post-COVID recovery, and many schools have not been able to do that. So if you don't just have a spike in growth, if you have steady, good growth, you can adjust to that growth like we have over the last 10 years. So that kind of growth is healthy. Now, if you want to stop it, you can. You can raise your standards. You could just limit how many students you take. the big schools, like, let's take Florida State. They can't take any more than, what, 6,000 freshmen a year. They just don't have the room. And so if you expand slowly with it, you retain that. Now, down the road 10 years from now, we may need to cap enrollment. And that's not too big of a deal. You don't cap it forever. But I think what we have to do is kind of watch it. And the leaders, the administrators in the future need to, you know, strike that balance, Andrew. Which way do we want to get that big or we don't? That is a decision they'll have to make. But going to Division One will definitely keep us on the track of enrollment growth.
And I think that was one of the – I know that was one of the questions that I had, not so much with this announcement, because this is more of a fulfillment of the kind of the vision that Manny Diaz has put out. But the idea that,
right.
like I have two students, I have two kids who went to UWF. One's there now, one's graduated, and another one might go. He's a nurse, so he might go to stay at PSC. But the point is, you know, the assumption by the locals is if you've got a kid who's going to go to college, they can go to UWF if they want to. It's not particularly exclusive. But if we grow it and if it grows fast, it's going to eventually get to the place where, as you say, enrollment has to be capped and it becomes a little bit more exclusive, maybe
right.
very exclusive. And that would be, in some ways, a loss and in some ways, a gain, right?
Right, that's right. And that's a decision that administrators make all the time. And we have long-term plans. We have strategic plans. We have master plans for growth of our buildings and facilities. All of that is taken in consideration. And we always talk about how big do we want to be. I think, personally, probably 20,000. That's a nice cap for this school. We can retain the small school personal touch that we have.
Yeah.
But you don't know. But that's my guess. When I said that in 2010, people thought I had lost my mind. 20,000, you're crazy, Ben. You're crazy. And,
well,
you know, this nice growth, I mean, you see the parking lots are full. There's a lot of more student life than before. So we're looking for that sweet spot, and they'll find it. You know, that's their job, too. And, you know, people like me give them my opinion all the time. But they're in charge, yeah.
Well, as you build it, they will come, right? That's kind of the idea.
Well,
you know,
that's kind of true. I mean, the stadium?
Yeah.
Who would think? It's going to be gorgeous. Just gorgeous. And multi-purpose, lots of different sources of revenue right in the middle of campus. I mean, Andrew, it's going to make a big difference. I think that alone will increase our enrollment. But we have to watch it. We don't want to grow too fast.
You know, one of the things, a lot of attention has been paid to football, obviously. I've asked you about student life outside of athletics. But I do think, to some degree, we've overlooked the other big element of this is a massive change of life and status and practice for all of the non-football sports, because they're all going to be part of the ASUN conference, and that is a big shift
That's right.
for them. What, and we've talked a little bit about recruiting and about prestige, but for the non-football sports, talk about some of the impacts there. I know you already mentioned scholarships go up and so forth, and the improvement in facilities, which will be a cost but also a benefit. Talk about some of the other sports impacts.
Well, I've talked to the other coaches of softball and volleyball and soccer and golf, and they are ready. They are excited to be going into Division One. We have been so successful in Division Two that I don't want to say it's ho-hum, but I'm going to say that every coach and every team wants to play at a higher level, and they want the competition. I mean, to a person, they are ready. They're excited. They can recruit better athletes. They've got more to offer them. And a lot of our recruits go to a Division One school only because we're Division Two, or they would be here. So they are looking forward to playing at the next level.
And
they're really excited.
That's good. And, I mean, I know it's going to be more work, but it's more money and it's more challenge and responsibility. I mean, it's all the things, like you say. You know, winners want to win at a higher level when they're able to. And one of the things that I think is a little overlooked in all this is, as Dave Scott mentioned yesterday, in the ASUN, we'll be the third largest school. We are a very big school. We're not like some barely Division I eligible. I mean, you know, Lipscomb and Jacksonville both have around 5,000 people. At 16,000, we're no small player in this market, right?
That's right, and the Division I schools conferences have been trying to get us to join them, but four of them have been after us, and with the ASUN gave us everything we wanted and more. So we to readjust their schedules of 16 schools to fit us in, like right now, is just amazing. So I mean, we're ready for Division I, and honestly, I think we'll do plenty of winning.
You know, Ed, I really appreciate you taking the time to spend with me this morning. Dr. Judy Bentz, I'm very optimistic, and you're right. The level of accommodation on the kind of the fly like this to let us in so quickly and change their schedules to meet our needs and fit us in is quite a testament
That's
to
right.
the value we bring to them, as opposed to what I think a lot of people are focused on is the value that they bring to us, and it's definitely a reciprocal benefit. Judy Bentz, former president for UWF and an archaeologist, and now another, again, she's authored a book called Early Spanish Florida, which is a completely different thing, but awesome, given the anniversary that we're at right now. Dr. Bentz, thank you for all the work you've done over the years. Thank you for continuing to be devoted to UWF. And as always, thank you for coming on the show this morning. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Andrew.
Absolutely. And go Argos, your favorite thing to say.
Go Argos. That's right.
Yes, ma'am.